I couldn't come up with anything witty last minute. I realized.
It's fine.
Yeah, that's okay. Well, that's I'm allowed an off week every so often, but I also usually forget that I need to come up with something until about 2 minutes before I have to come up with it. And this time I did not have enough time.
Honestly, that's better than I would do. When I first was coming onto the show, several people were like, I hope your pun game is up to snuff. Or like, I can't wait to hear what all your puns are. Cause you know, Hat was so
good. You're not keeping up with Hat. Like that's just, you know, like that's like trying to, you know, like you're a rookie in the league and you're trying to upstage, like, you know, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Like that's just, you know, that's not going to happen.
I have my own brand. I have my own talents. That is not one of them. Yeah.
I know that stuff is well-meaning, but people need to not do that shit.
Yeah. Also that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Having had tonally adjacent things at my father's funeral, because at the time we shared the same name, first name.
Mm.
It's not okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and that's especially difficult when, like, because people don't know what to say to you if you're mourning, and people will say all kinds of stupid stuff, and you're like in a particularly bad space for it.
You don't say you've got some big shoes to fill unless, like, you don't like the person.
Is pretty bad. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Any age, but especially a teenager, I feel
That's not what you say. Like, they probably just don't know what to say, and then, you know, had a brain fart, but yeah.
Right. No, you say something like, I'm so sorry, or, you know, you can always just go like, I'm so sorry for your loss.
Yeah.
It's basic, but, you know, or like people had said to me, like, you know, I know your dad loved you very much. Right? Yeah. Stuff like that's fine. And or say something about how much they valued my dad. Like, that's fine.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's I have one uncle who will say really tonally deaf stuff, but like frequently enough, I used to get very offended by it. There was a period when I had just come back from my first year of college, which was not very successful, and God, what did he say to me? I can't remember, but he was like kind of convinced that I must not be that smart if I didn't do well.
Oh,
geez. So that was pretty offensive. But some stuff that he said to me recently, I was just like, when I reported it to my aunt, she was so upset on my behalf, and I'm like, no, I've lived with this for 30 years. It was not meant maliciously. It was just what he was thinking. It's what other people have been thinking but didn't want to say. So, like,
yeah,
it's fine. I just answered it as a normal question, and then moved on. I won't get into specifically what it was, but like, so sometimes. But I think there's other things that he could say that, like, in different situations that maybe would be less easy to deal with. And also, like, earlier that same day, he had said something to my brother that my brother was really mad about. And we were like, you know, it's not personal. And my brother was like, yeah, I know, but it was still bad.
Yeah, that doesn't mean it doesn't make you upset. Yeah.
Yeah. So he's a good guy at heart who's been good for my aunt, and he's difficult to have around sometimes. Yeah. But he does mean well. Most of the time.
We didn't talk about Twilight Mistress. I feel like if there's a rogue that plays that card, it is going to make me miserable.
I mean,
I don't think I saw it.
Vanish on a 4/12.
It was rough.
Yeah,
return all enemy minions to their owner's hand.
There's a couple of things in this expansion that I think people are going to forget or not realize for a bit that they're not symmetrical.
Mm. Yeah.
This is one of them, right? Like, it's not vanish on a 9-cost minion. It is vanish your opponent's board.
Oh, that's right, because vanish was symmetrical too.
Yeah. And if people are doing the destroy a legendary minion with Admiral Hooktusk, which I think they might.
Yeah, that's true.
Where you get Admiral a bunch of coins from destroying that treasure chest.
I mean, just because they lost Shadow Step doesn't mean Rogue's not going to be doing annoying things. So.
Well, an Agent of the Old Ones, right? Choose a card in your hand to transform into a coin. If you've like burgled stuff that you don't care about, you just turn it into a coin, and then you're getting Twilight Mistress out sooner. Like, it seems crazy at 9 mana that you would ever play it, but you might. It's you can vanish for lethal, which has never been a thing. unless you have a charge.
Nice board, Egglock.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I've played against enough Cyclonic Rifts in Commander to know what that is like, and that's
exactly.
That's not fun at all.
I think that's something that, you know, maybe meta dependent, but something to watch out for.
Yeah.
I feel like there was something else that I was like, oh, that's not symmetrical. The Death Knight Herald, right? The 6 cost deals 4 damage to all enemy minions, not your own. Which does encourage potentially something that is less of like a straight control deck and something that's more aggressive, because that matters more if you have stuff to protect.
Yeah.
Right? Where you say, okay, I've been building things up, which you can do when you're paying life to play minions for free. And then you deal 4 to their board and play a minion.
Could be choices for superlatives.
Yeah.
And days is something that could just be an addition to an aggressive rogue strategy that doesn't actually run very many new cards, but would run days.
I mean, it's power crept sap.
Well, it costs 1 more.
I know it costs 1 more, but it's also like it is objectively better that they can't play it the following turn. Like,
well, I mean, it's different, right? Because sap, you would do it the turn you were going to kill them. And now you could do it to set up the 2 turn, right? Where it's like, okay, I get rid of this taunt now and next turn.
Or at least you can make sure that it's not coming right back. Like, there's a card that I play in a lot of commander decks now called Avatar's Wrath, which is, it's from the Avatar set. So it's like, there's this airbending mechanic where you airbend something, which means that you exile and you can play it again for 2 mana. And this says, choose 1 creature, airbend everything else, and players can't play cards from anywhere other than their hand, or opponents can't play cards from anywhere other than their hand is holding this. So it's just, and it looks like, oh, well, why would I just want to reset it? And then you play it and it's like, oh, they just like pass. Because and everybody's like, the first time I played it, my daughter was playing a game with me and she spent the entire turn cycle just yelling at me the entire turn cycle. It was hilarious. She's like, well, wait, what? I can't play it. No, you can't. Wait, until your next turn? What are you? Yeah. Yeah. So put that aside. You can play it again once my next turn is over. What the hell is this card? Like, yeah. So like the whole turn cycle, she was yelling at me. It was hilarious.
I just realized I completely missed the opportunity to have this stuffed owl facing forward the whole time instead of backwards. That's just, anyway. Missed opportunity. I also haven't been showing off the front side of my wizard mug from Order of the Stick, which is an amazing webcomic about D&D that has been going on since D&D 3.5, and so they still use D&D 3.5 rules in the comic. With actually an amazing story, but this is Vesuvius, the non-binary wizard main character. One of the main characters. Wizard analytically superior, prepares for contingencies, suffers fools, but not gladly. So, I of course always play wizards in D&D or adjacent systems.
Oh, I watched, which I don't know why this is reminding me of that, but I watched season 5 of Shoresy like last week. And I think if either of you liked Heated Rivalry, I mean, not that I've watched Heated Rivalry, but I think that it's basically a lot of hockey, but also a lot of not hockey. And it is also kind of tangentially, I don't know. Okay, so if you watch Letterkenny, you should if you haven't. Not. Yeah. Letterkenny is like one of the most autistic sitcoms that I've ever watched, like more so than Big Bang Theory. Like Big Bang Theory is like stereotypically autistic. Like Letterkenny is autistic. Like nobody identifies as autistic, but they super are. And it's like there's a lot of just like wordplay repetition over and over again for no good reason. And like they have every so often they just have like a cold open where they just like start saying sentences that all start with the next letter of the alphabet. No reason. That's just what they're doing. And I think you have to give it a couple of episodes to kind of, because like the first episode is just like, there's too many people and it's hard to keep track of them because there's like 20 main characters in the show and it takes a little while to figure out who everybody is. But like once you get through like a couple of episodes, it gets really, really funny really fast. It's on Hulu.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think we have that.
Yeah. It's very Canadian. Everything. It's very Canadian.
That's called Letterkenny.
Yeah, Letterkenny. It's one word. Yeah.
Okay.
It's the name of the town.
Ah, that makes more sense.
Yeah. And it's so Shoresy is like a spinoff of that where one of the characters went off to go join like a senior league hockey team and then you know, like that they've done like 5 seasons of that. It's also very, it's very similar. I mean, it's the same guy, but it's more sports oriented, but it's also like incredibly funny.
Well, it's,
yeah, it is very late. And there's no one to raid. So I think we're just gonna drop off unceremoniously and, yeah, thanks everybody for hanging out with us, and we will see you on Thursday for Superlatives. So, bye.
Bye.
Bye.